It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. U.S. Open Week is finally here, the 123rd championship being held at Los Angeles Country Club. And with the fact that it's being held on the West Coast, your viewing, if you want to watch, changes a little bit. You're going to be able to watch until 10 o'clock at night, Central Time, primetime golf. It doesn't get any better than that. And speaking of primetime golf, on Saturday and Sunday, NBC will start their coverage at noon. They will end at 10 o'clock, so you get 10 hours of golf on Saturday and Sunday. Speaking of the U.S. Open, in this episode of From the Short Grass, I speak with a former Major League Baseball player who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's also competed in a USGA event, the U.S. Senior Open in 2018 at the Broadmoor. John Smoltz missed the cut. Three other former MLB players have teed it up in the U.S. Senior Open. Ralph Terry, Eric Hansen missed the cut. Rick Rodin tied for 41st in 2006. You'll hear his story on how that went in just a little bit. I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Find them on the web at blackmanauctions.com. We're back with John Smoltz after this.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square district of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet. The sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to blackmanauctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. John Smoltz, born in Warren, Michigan, played 22 years in Major League Baseball from 1988 to 2009, all with the Atlanta Braves except for the Boston Red Sox and St. Louis Cardinals in 2009. He was an 8-time All-Star, a World Series champion in 1995. He won the NL Cy Young Award in 1996. The NLCS MVP in 1992, and he was inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 2015. Now currently working as an analyst for Fox Sports, on the tee, John Smoltz.
John Smoltz, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. How's your golf game right now? I'm playing a lot because I got my left hip replaced 2 months ago, so I'm trying to catch up to figure it out, and I'm playing great the last 2 days, so I couldn't be happier. I know it's just practice rounds and pro-ams, but I'd rather have good feelings going in than not knowing where the golf ball's going. So I've been dealing with this for a long time. I know people told me, you need to do it. You're going to be wishing you did it 3 years ago, and they're all right. So I got to do one more. Thankfully, it's only one more.
Yeah.
And I'll try those competitive juices again. I want to see I love golf, and it's the last bit of competition I have left. I really thought I could make a run and qualify for some tournaments, but then the hips just went, and it just was – it wasn't any fun.
When did you first pick up the game?
So I never played golf until I got to A-ball in the big leagues, you know, and I got signed with the Tigers, and I was bored once every 5 days, and never fished, never golfed, took that back, both of that up in Lakeland, Florida, and fell in love with both, but really fell in love with golf, and chased it ever since, self-taught. Never wanted golf to be a mechanical sport because I wanted baseball to concentrate on that. And so I used it as freedom for the mind and relaxation and going out and having a blast. And, you know, I did that basically every chance I could on the road, played all the time on the road. Once you get a family and start having kids, you don't play as much at home. But golf became a passion right around then, and it became a dream to see how far I could take it. You know, I envisioned I would pitch till I was 45, and I got close. I was 41, shoulder surgery did that in, but – and then I would dedicate myself to golf and see what I could do come Champions Tour time. And, you know, a dream come true happened 3 years ago when I qualified for the U.S. Open. And it was an out-of-body experience. My golf is not about practice. I've never really practiced.
Really?
No, I never have. And if I want to take it serious, I got to learn how to practice. But if I have time, I play golf. And if I have a lot of time, I play a lot of golf. I play 36, 45 a day. During the pandemic, I guarantee you I average 45 holes a day.
Wow.
Easy.
So you were playing all the time.
All the time. And good and bad. You know, you get bad habits, good habits, whatever. So playing on Champions Tour after that, getting sponsor exemptions was a blast. But it was show and go. It wasn't like I'm rolling into a tournament where I'm ready. I always tried to imagine that I was ready. And then the golf told me. First event was Tucson, under par going into every hole, every last hole, every day, and came out not under par. So learned
funny
a little
how
bit
that happens sometimes, huh?
Yeah. But playing with these guys is an absolute dream. They're so good. They manage their ball so incredibly, make it look easy. I admit there's some things I can't do. Body knows it, mind knows it. And that's what golf does. It exposes you really quickly.
A buddy of mine, Ken Duke, said that if you'll just practice a little bit, you can do it out there with them.
Yeah, I believe that, but I got to be healthy to practice. I was limited in what I could, how many times I could swing a club, so I wanted to save them for the golf course. You know, people used to have a hard time with us playing golf during the season, but when you break it down, you may hit 14 drivers. You might. The majority of your shots are going to be 36 putts on down, and wedge shots. So how much exertion is that, right? You're not really dealing with a grunt way of playing golf. So I would average 31 to 32 putts. I would be hitting wedges most of the time. And where they spent the I got to believe where they spent most of their time was in 100 yards and in. And it shows. I mean, that's my weakness. I'm getting better, but tight lies around the green. I'd rather putt than chip. And so equipment-wise, you know, some of the things that you try to find out, it's more of a dream to think that I could pull it off than a reality of I got to put in the time if I want to seriously try to qualify for events.
I've read where there was, I don't know if it was a writer or what it was, that kind of got upset with you in the clubhouse. You're about to go out and pitch, but you're making a tee time for you and Greg Maddux and Glavin as well. And you went out and you threw a shutout.
Yeah, it wasn't a writer. It was the producer for the TV broadcast.
Okay.
He had seen me on the payphone. That's when we had payphones back in the day. You had to go through an operator. And I didn't take long to warm up. I was in L.A. I probably took 15 minutes to warm up, and it might have been 22 minutes before first pitch. And usually what I do is I walk out and I do my routine and I'm ready to go. Well, I forgot in San Diego we're going. I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't make the tee time and I wasn't going to have the luxury to make it after the game. So I asked the operator, called the golf course, made the tee time. And he heard me, didn't say anything. I'm sure he rolled his eyes. Later tells me the story because I worked for him, you know, broadcasting after I retired.
Uh-huh.
And he told our reporters or our broadcasters, it's going to be a long game. They're like, why? He says, Smoltz's head's not into it. And I pitched a complete game. I won the game. And he was kind of amazed, and he told me about that. And I said, you know, Glenn, you got to know where your priorities are. And I was kidding, of course. You know, I said, no, it was no big deal. I was making a tee time. I wasn't going to take away from my focus. A lot of what I did in life is I never took myself too seriously, and I wasn't afraid to fail, but I was always ready. And I was always ready for the moment. Now, some people might think that I was a little bit of aloof or, you know, maybe I wasn't. That's not the case. I liken it to this in golf. If you and I are putting and we both got a five-footer and you take 1 to 2 minutes, you grind, you look at everything, and you're grinding. And I take 30 seconds and do the same thing and we both miss. Who's going to be accused of not concentrating?
Right.
Me. But it's just a different process.
Yeah.
So it's the same way in sports. And if your mind, if you don't know your personality and you let your mind wander and you start thinking negative thoughts, you're going to have negative things happen. And so I just never was that way. And I never, in all of my big games, all the biggest games I ever pitched, I took a nap. And I talked to guys. Like, no one wants to talk to you in a game seven. And so I would talk to a writer on the day, even though that's kind of not, you know, that's taboo in baseball. You don't talk to a writer the day of the game. I'd talk to a producer. I'd do an interview. And it's just the way I'm wired, and I don't think any differently if somebody goes about it a different way.
Do you think that it's more of I'm in a routine, this is what I've been doing ever since, that's why you did it that
kinda,
way?
Kind of. It's just I'm not I just don't take it that seriously from, like, it's not life and death. And,
yeah.
You know, my most nervous moments of my life was the first tee shot at the Broadmoor in U.S. Open. I couldn't spit. I never was that way at any point in baseball. And see, the difference is that was my offense. My mound was my office. These guys, this is their venue. They're not. There might be some moments where they're a little uncomfortable, but there's not a shot that's going to surprise them. Whereas golf will always expose you in a way as an amateur golfer who sits at home on a couch thinking they could shoot 80 mm-hmm. at a U.S. Open course. No, you can't. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen that way. So for me, I tried to use all my experiences of pressure and utilize them in golf. And I think I'm going to make the shot. I want to make the shot. But there are opportunities that are presented to me that I probably realistically know I don't have as good odds as I think.
I've played the Broadmoor. How difficult was it in a U.S. Open setup? I know how difficult it is with not a U.S. Open setup.
It was impossible for an amateur. That's the point I was trying to make. I was mic'd because Fox had that, you know, and I worked for Fox at the time. And I was mic'd just to give the viewer at home an experience of what that's like to be playing along with the greatest golfers in the world in U.S. Open condition. If you missed the fairway by an inch or 10 yards, didn't matter. There was in the rough and you weren't going to the green. Impossible. So it's funny because Vegas had a number for me, 83.5. And I laughed. I'm like, that is a joke. I'll break 83.5. I would have taken everything I owned and dumped it right on that number. Now, I didn't, thankfully, because I made 14 tap-in bogeys.
Wow.
13.
Wow.
13 tap-in bogeys. I mean, there was not one stress. What was happening is I'd miss the fairway, get it back in play, hit it to about 6 to 10 feet, miss every par putt. And it just drove me crazy. And next thing you know, I'm counting. I'm 2 over. I'm 3 over. I'm 4 over. Well, I get to the last hole. If I birdie it, I shoot 83. And some of my boys from Atlanta came to follow me. Had a few shekels on it. And I reached the par 5 and 2. And it trickled off, false front, and came in just short of the green. I'm like, no big deal. I can get that up and out. I was in a huge divot. So I make 6. I shoot 86. And the next day, the number moves to 81. I said, I'll break that. And I shot 76. I played really well. So I improved my score by 10. But it was one of these moments that I learned a lot about my game, myself, and just the environment. You know, It's the greatest accomplishment I've ever had because it's an individual accomplishment. Everything else I've done is team-oriented. So I wouldn't take away from a World Series or a Cy Young, but individually, when I qualified, that was one of the coolest, most unbelievable moments that I could ever imagine having in golf.
Trying to qualify is difficult enough, but like you said, when you qualify for your U.S. Open, you've done something.
Yeah, and I made some rookie mistakes. I played with Freddie Couples and the boys in practice rounds. I got some deals from G4 and some clothing company, and it was like brand new shoes. They were sent to me in Colorado. It was 100 degrees, and my feet were my feet were killing me. I wore brand new shoes at that place.
I got
a little bit of altitude sickness, and I just again, if I had a do-over, I would have asked MLB Network if I could have taken some time off from working. I worked 22 of the next 25 days and then rolled into the Broadmoor. I had a flight on Saturday. I was like, what do you mean? I said, the reality of me making the cut is not great. and you know what? I learned a lot of things. The practice round, I shot like 73. I'm like, oh, all right, I can do this. But it's a practice round. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday I had 7 birdies. It was a pro-am. Learning to translate that into in the moment, when you cross the white lines. I could do that in baseball, but it's much more difficult here because now you start going, it counts. It matters. People are watching. And I really believe a lot of amateurs that struggle in events like this, it's because that notion, like, oh, they're going to show every bad shot or a bad shot. And I'm learning now that I have a new hip and now that I'm getting healthier, I think I can start getting back to the level of golf I can play.
When you were working with Joe Buck, did you guys talk golf during commercial breaks?
Oh, yeah, we talked on air about golf. Joe's a good player. He was my when we go on the road, we'd play together, you know, when the time allowed. During the playoffs here, the pandemic was here, mm-hmm. and we played a ton of golf. Trinity Forest, Dallas National, one of the real hard golf course that is here. We played them all, and we passed the time, you know. We're going to be ready for our game when the game time comes, but you have all this time, you know, when you're broadcasting. You spend a ton of time prepping, but a ton of time waiting. So golf, this was like a dream come true, even in the midst of one of the hardest times that everyone was dealing with, because we didn't go anywhere. When you travel as broadcasters, you're going all over the place. You don't get to go on a team plane, and you go wherever, you know, you could have East Coast, West Coast, three times,
mm-hmm.
because we start in the beginning and end at the end. We got to play. We were here 30 straight days in Texas when they did it, and oh man, it was such a relief to know you weren't going anywhere. The games were crisper, the players were fresher. I know baseball can't do that like a Super Bowl, but boy, if there was a way to pull it off, it was fantastic.
When you played, back when you were playing ball, who were some of the guys that you would play with besides Maddox and Glavine? Were there others that you would play, and then who would win?
Yeah, so we'd have a standard foursome on an off day. It was back early on. It was my caddy for me right now, Greg Olson, Charlie Lee Brandt, me, Tom Glavine.
Mm-hmm.
That was our foursome. Position players could play on off days. Pitchers could play on every day but the day they pitch. Then Avery joined, then Nagel, then Millwood. We taught every pitcher, whether they knew how to play or not.
You taught him how to play?
Oh, yeah. We taught Jason Marquis how to play. Kevin Millwood forced him to play. Today's era, they don't do that anymore. They just don't. So we would play on a daily basis. I would play Maddox and Glavine's best ball. And it was a challenge. I didn't win a lot, but when I won, it felt great.
Yeah.
But that's how we ended up doing it. We had a lot of fun. We never let anything get out of hand. It was our way to stay together and stay fresh. Baseball had this kind of like undertone that was kind of stay out late, drink, and that was okay somehow, and get up at 2 p.m. and then go play baseball. Whereas we would get up, go to bed, get up. We'd be refreshed. We'd play. We'd take a nap, go to the park. It kept us young.
There's a rumor that in your golf bag – there's an envelope that's loaded with cash.
Oh, no. Never.
There's not?
No.
Do you play for much when you play?
I play for what's in my wallet or in what I bring, yeah. But no, the rumor probably probably went like this. Back in the day playing with Tiger Woods, you're going to lose. but we would always have our match, and he would give me one aside, two aside, three aside. We'd play three different Nassaus. He'd win the one aside, I'd win the three aside. It always came down to two aside. Well, back then, we'd get our meal money in an envelope. And it wasn't a ton of money, but it was meal money for us for the week. And so I picked it up that day, and that's exactly what I lost. And I said, all right, Tiger, here you go. It's, you know, it's sealed. Here's exactly what I lost. And a week later, I won that exact amount back. He gave me the same envelope that wasn't opened. I'm like, what's wrong? What, you got a drawer full of these? Like, you wouldn't even give me the courtesy to check and see if I put dollar bills in there?
Right.
So he laughed, and you know, we had a good time with it. But, yeah, you know, rumors always are going to get out there. Like, it's – we always kept it a simple rule in our foursome during the season. We were never going to let the game cause any issues with each other, mm-hmm. right? We were never going to let it get out of hand or let it get to the point where – it was costing somebody enough to get mad, and that was our general rule, and we had fun, and we were all competitive. We wanted to win, and the winner would always take the losers to dinner and, you know, make up for it that way.
Playing with Tiger, though, that's got to be an experience.
Oh, it was a blast. It was like living a dream in the heyday of one of the greatest golfer to ever live, and TV doesn't do it justice. I say it all the time, and we became really good friends during that time. He's a great sports fan of baseball, and he actually faced me in a simulated game. He always wanted to face me. And I said, we got a perfect opportunity. We no one at the stands. The team's on the road. We're in spring training. I need to work on – so you can be one of the batters that faces me. And he goes, don't lay up. Don't you dare take off one revolution of your pitches. I said, Tiger, I'm not worried about hitting you. I'm just worried about you jamming your hands and you get a stinger in it. That's not good for golf. He goes, nah, I'll be fine. And the reality would be the same as me trying to make the cut at Augusta. It's not going to happen. And even though he's very athletic, he wasn't going to hit the ball. He did put it in play. And when he found out that I kind of laid it in there for him to put it in play, he got really mad. But it's a different experience, right? It doesn't matter how great your hands are, which he's got the best. That's 92, 95 miles an hour and spin. I have a lot of friends, amateurs, who played college or maybe even high school, claim they could hit me. And I said, you're dreaming.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't understand how hard it is. It's a gift. It's a hand-eye coordination. But they swear, you know, it's like, get your arm ready. I bet you I could hit you right now. I said, yeah, I'm 56. You can hit me right now. But I threw one slider at you, and your face will be – you'll seen a ghost. So it's that way in life, right? We all think when the things are slower, when we're watching a game show and the answers come easier on the couch than when you're in the moment, that's what sports is like. Mm-hmm. And anybody who announces it differently or announces it like it's easier than what they play when they played is doing a disservice to the fan. And there's some sports commentators that have done that and acted like, how could this guy hit that shot? And what was he thinking? It's human nature to have these moments and to be out of body. And, you know, even as a broadcaster today, the game's different. The guys are bigger. They're stronger. But I would never come across the air and make it seem like the game is easier than what it actually is.
Who do you think wins the World Series this year? I know it's early, but yeah. Of your estimation, who do you think wins?
Yeah, I mean, it is early, and I always say I never predict as a broadcaster, especially nationally, because all you do is tick people off. But I think the teams that have the best chance fall under this narrative. And it sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's been true for 25 years. The team that puts the ball in play the most and the team that has the healthiest pitching staff will win 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. You might get a fluke 25 years ago, but you will never find a team inside the top 10 in strikeouts that wins the World Series. So, you know, in this era where strikeouts doesn't matter, so to speak, they do. When it means winning championships. So the Braves are loaded again this year. So are the Mets. It's going to be a two-headed race. And the Phillies get healthy. It's going to be a three-team race. But in the American League, now you've got some depth again. You've got the Rangers doing what they did here in Texas. Health of their rotation is vital.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's still the class, in my opinion. Someone's going to have to beat Houston. They're defending champs, and the Yankees have more depth than they've had. So, you know, the Rays have started off in an incredible way, took advantage of a nice part of the schedule, but there won't be another team that wins every game like they did
No.
against those teams. So they're always in the mix, and You know, baseball has a way of things evening out. The West of the National League was supposed to be Dodgers, Padres. And right now, both teams are struggling out of the gate. And you got the Diamondbacks playing well. So, yeah, baseball goes by this theme. The worst team is going to lose 60, is going to win 60 games. The best team is going to lose 60 games. So you're all, every team's going to lose 60 and win 60. It's what you do with those 42 mm-hmm. in between that is the difference maker. And the reality is that's what's going to happen. Everyone's going to, well, there might be some teams that only get to 55 wins, but typically that is usually the case.
Best golf course John Smoltz has ever played.
Oh, there's so many. Gosh, I always struggle with this answer because I'm spoiled in this regard. You give me great conditions, I don't care where the golf course is. Like, you give me good greens and, like, the course is in good condition 90% of the year versus 20% of the year. And to me, a course that can get ready for an open in 1 week fits that category like an Oakmont. Mm-hmm. They say give us 1 week because it's in those conditions almost the entire year.
Right.
I love that. Like, I just – and there's so many hidden gems. I mean – Chicago, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New York, tri-state area is unbelievable for golf. And again, I missed all the Michigan courses because I grew up there, but I didn't play there. So I missed all the northern courses. I played Oakland Hills once. But Oakmont keeps coming to the front. I played Augusta. Augusta is Augusta, and it's in a category by itself. But there's something that keeps drawing me back to that Oakmont, even with all the trees they tore down. The green complex and the way that it is in shape almost every day is pretty incredible.
To be a member there would be like heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Fantasy foursome. You and three others, living or deceased, that you could play a round of golf with, who would it be?
Yeah, I've always said one of the people's got to be a comedian or somebody funny. Has to be. So it can be any
Keep
comedian.
Keep the group lively.
Absolutely.
Relaxed.
It can be any of the top comedians that, you know, even though we're in a tough day in this day and age with comedians. I will always say Jackie Robinson because golf is an opportunity to pick the brains of people that you never met or know, and you get to ask real life questions. I always wanted to know from Jackie Robinson what it really was like, you know, how he lived it out and changed the game of baseball. If I stayed in baseball, then it would be like a Babe Ruth, Jackie mm-hmm. Robinson, and then, you know, somebody current. But golfers, I never got a chance to play with Jack Nicklaus, play with Arnie, play with Tiger. You could have any foursome in the PGA. It's just a dream. But it would be somebody funny, somebody in the past that they went through that was life-changing, that they made an impact. And I think it'd be a dream foursome to just laugh, learn, and live life through somebody else's kind of sphere.
That would be cool. That'd be really cool. John, thanks so much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole, I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shoregrass. I want to thank John Smoltz for taking time out of his busy day to sit down and talk with me. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. One of our great friends of From the Shoregrass. A quick congratulations to Connor Gaunt and Madison Holmes, who won the men's and women's Arkansas State Amateur Championships on June 3rd at Chenal Country Club. Gaunt repeated as the men's champion, while Holmes came from behind to beat AK Nichols. Enjoy the U.S. Open, everyone, in prime time on NBC until 10 o'clock at night. You can't beat that here in the Central Time Zone. Remember to hydrate when you're on the golf course, and When you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more, and I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.